views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the leading edge of personal, social, and global transformation, The Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected, is making connections that inspire and accelerate individual and collective awakening. Dr. Julie is joined by visionary leaders and change makers from around the world to explore social change, the generative power of conscious, co-creative practice, and what's emergent with health, science, spirituality, and the evolution of consciousness. Break through the illusion of separation, explore the infinite field of possibilities, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Here's your host, Dr. Julie Kroll.
Hello and welcome, everyone. I'm so glad you've tuned us in today. I have a special treat for you here on the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected. You know, take a minute and just pause and imagine. Bring your mind's eye an image of a beautiful world. What does it look like? What does it feel like? What is your experience, and how do you experience nature and animals and loved ones and beauty itself? What is your relationship to it? You're imagining a beautiful world, everything in perfect order. The impulse of creation is moving through everything. The designing intelligence is moving everything into perfect order, harmony, alignment, resonance. Ooh, that makes me feel good just saying that. Now, if I ask you to think and engage your mind here for a second, think about all the problems on the planet. Think about what you perceive as broken. And now think about how you can fix it. What would you do? And how does that make you feel? Maybe a little overwhelmed, maybe a little anxiety or inadequacy. Well, our guest today is going to show us how we can simply follow our hearts and be fully who we are, and maybe not even do anything at all. I invite you to take a few deep breaths. Bring your awareness into this moment as you open your mind, connect with your heart, and settle into your essential self. Welcome whatever it is you're needing in this moment as I introduce our guest. Charles Eisenstein is a speaker and writer focusing on themes of human culture and identity. He's the author of several books, most recently Sacred Economics and The More Beautiful World Our Hearts Know Is Possible. His background includes a degree in mathematics and philosophy from Yale, a decade in Taiwan as a translator, and stints as a college instructor, yoga teacher, and construction worker. He currently writes and speaks full-time, and you are going to love to listen to every word that comes out of him. He lives in Pennsylvania with his wife and four children. Welcome, Charles.
Hi, Julie. Happy to be here.
Oh, thank you. I am really happy to have you here, and I'm sitting here with The More Beautiful World Our Hearts Know Is Possible book right in front of me, and I have to tell you, there's so much beautiful stuff in there. We're going to talk about that a lot. But first, we have a tradition here on the show, Charles. I have a perennial question I like to ask our guests to start us off. So, Charles Eisenstein, what does all things connected mean to you?
All things connected. Well, that would be a good description of what I call the new and ancient story. That basically, I hope this isn't going to be too philosophical, but...
No, it's, you know, okay. We welcome that.
It says, everyone knows it, you know, that we're not separate beings in a world of other, but that everything outside of ourselves mirrors something inside of ourselves, and that everything that happens in the world is happening to us, and that everything that we do has significance far beyond what we can see. And yeah, we are interbeings. I guess that's what comes to mind for me.
Mm, I love that. Well, that is one of your terms that you've picked up, I think, from, was it Thich Nhat Hanh, interbeing?
I don't know. I mean, he was, I've been told that he coined it, and it's just a really natural word to use, you know, because it's not just that we're separate beings with connections, you know, it's that something of you lives inside of me, and something of the sea turtles and the whales and the trees lives inside of me.
Mm. You know, Charles, that's one of the things that I really appreciate about your voice on the planet right now, because what you just said is we're not just individuals who are connected. And when we really can take this conversation into the interbeingness of who we are, it really elevates our awareness and our understanding of ourselves and the universe. So thank you for that. That is really such a beautiful thing. And, you know, a lot of people are talking about the web of life and this field that connects us. But the other thing that you do that I really appreciate is that you invite us to look outside of ourselves at anything and reflect on what that is for us, not just in that interbeing way that it is a part of us, but also to really learn about our experience on the planet and really shift our consciousness and our perception.
Yeah, I think that this is part of the convergence of spirituality and activism, where, you know, we don't just sit on the meditation cushion and imagine that our work on ourselves will magically change the world. Maybe we do that for a while, but then it becomes imperative that we go out and engage the world. And when we engage the world, we discover parts of ourselves that were not visible on the meditation cushion through conflict, you know, through these situations that are beyond what we could control or expect. And like, I don't know, like, I mean, I find that any new relationship, even any new friendship, like any new person that comes into my life will confront me with hidden parts of myself. So this work in the world is, you could say, it's a way of working on yourself.
Mm. Go ahead.
Well, oh, I don't know. I'll turn it back over to you.
Okay. Well, you know, I love that. It's really about engaging, and it's really, we come from a culture that really does, number one, the old story of looking at ourselves as separate. But then when we see conflict and chaos, we usually disengage and avoid conflict, or, you know, we find ourselves not very happy warring or whatever. So I love the invitation to move into that place or that part of ourselves. Maybe we don't even see it as desirable, but understanding it helps us understand ourselves.
Yeah. And then to question the terms of the conflict too, because one of the pieces of the old story is the idea that we're going to create a better world by overcoming evil, conquering the bad guy, which is really a mirror of the conquest of the original other, you know, which is nature. And it manifests as the conquest of the feminine, the subduing of the indigenous, you know, the harnessing of nature, the digging up of minerals. I mean, it's all part of the same approach. And I think that, you know, as we deepen that understanding, we see that the solution to our crisis isn't going to be even more conquest of the enemy du jour, you know, which could be whatever, the bankers or the, you know, politicians or capitalism or any identifiable enemy, you know, and that's part of really moving into interbeing, where we recognize that anything we identify as evil mirrors something in ourselves that wants to be healed.
Mm. You know, I have so much I just want to, like, oh my gosh, there's so much to talk about. But one of the things that that I'd like to do after our first break is really talk about this story of separation versus the story of interbeing and what that really means to you. And in doing that, you just mentioned the solutions to our crisis, the solutions of our crisis, really, that you have this beautiful approach of not focusing outward of what do I do, or really pushing against and powering over or creating those power over under scenarios. But you really have a unique approach and a unique teaching for people to understand how to really access their own solutions and really live them and be them. So we need to take a quick break. And before we do, I want to make sure our listeners know how to find you. Can you give them your website?
Yes. CharlesEisenstein.net. That's the portal for all kinds of other, you know, websites, books, videos, things like that.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's a beautiful playground, actually, if you're interested in this topic. So it's CharlesEisenstein.net, EisenStein. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more with Charles Eisenstein.
Transformation Talk Radio's amazing hosts span from the Pacific to the Atlantic coast. With a world full of loyal fans, what's stopping you from joining our clan? Bring your powerful message to listening ears. We've been helping people do this for many years. Want to make a difference? We can help you out. Just give us at Transformation Talk Radio a shout. It's easy to get started with an email so small to host at transformationtalkradio.com, and then we'll give you a call.
It's here, the 23rd Annual Women of Wisdom Conference. Join us Valentine's Day Saturday. Inheritance Maiden Mother Crone by Sinner Saint Burlesque will entertain, challenge, empower, confuse, embrace, and deeply engage the audience, weaving feminist activism, international dialogue, and our sensory exploration for both ancient and modern myths about the feminine. Community-building events include Open Space World Cafe dialogues with inspirational Jane talks to explore issues important to women and a teen activist panel interwoven with intergenerational dialogues. Find out all the details at www.womenofwisdom.org. That's www.womenofwisdom.org. Watch for early bird specials throughout December.
Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Each week, you will journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Change makers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit thedrjulieshow.com.
Tune in to the hit show, Get Into It, Winning at the Game of Life with intuitive energy healer and medium Lynn Brown on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to bring the magic of soul into every aspect of your life. Learn how to use spirit tools and experience the immediate connection with yourself as a spiritual being with natural spiritual abilities as you are guided on the pathway to success and joy. Visit ruintuit.com. That's the letter R, the letter U, intuit.com. And get into it now.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
We're back on the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected. I'm here with one of my favorite voices on the planet, Charles Eisenstein. And right before the break, Charles, I was talking about, you make this whole conversation so easy to comprehend, and you really elevate it for just the average person. You don't have to be a quantum physicist to understand what you're talking about with this interbeing and this interconnected way. So thank you for that. And why don't we just start by talking about the old story of separation versus this new and ancient story that you referred to in our last segment.
Yeah. I first got the idea of the story of separation when I moved back to suburbia after living in Taiwan. And I was like, you know, I had this idea that it was going to be an awesome place for my kids to grow up, you know, packs of kids running around like in The Little Rascals or something. But instead, like, everybody was inside all the time. The playgrounds were empty and there was no community. People hardly knew each other. It was so different from my childhood, you know, where everybody knew everybody else and what everyone's kids were doing and what their relatives. I mean, it was like, you know, and this was a kind of separation that I kind of linked up with the separation from nature, the seeing nature as, you know, a pile of resources that are that's here for our use, but not actual beings. And so, like, these multiple kinds of separation, you know, racism is a kind of separation. It's a dehumanization of other humans. You know, political ideology is separating. Like, everything is just, all of our crises come from one form or another of separation. So I began to dig down to the root of this story, and essentially it's the conception of self, the story of self, that says that who you are is a separate being in a world of other, that this world of other doesn't have the qualities of self, doesn't have intelligence and consciousness and beingness. You know, it's a bunch of stuff out there full of forces that are random, indifferent to your well-being. Therefore, to survive and be secure, you have to control those external forces and masses and competing other beings outside of yourself. And so this paradigm of force and control and domination and competition, all of this stuff is built into our world story. And it's a story that's changing, it's falling apart and giving way to first a space between stories and then a new story.
Great. And, you know, the space between stories is kind of where we're hanging right now as we're watching this old story of separation, which we've created, falling apart and not working for our experience on the planet anymore in this reality that we're choosing. So what's going to bring in this new story, this ancient story, and what do we do with this space in between?
Yeah. So, like, as a society and also as individuals, we're being ejected from that old narrative, from that old story. One way we're being ejected is through crisis, political, environmental, social crisis. I mean, in every aspect of our society, there's crisis. And these also visit us on a personal level, too, as some kind of personal crisis where normal doesn't seem normal anymore. And the life that was offered to us, here's how to live a life, here's what you're supposed to do, and you play by the rules, and you get your annual checkups, you know, and you make your sound investments, and you build your resume, you do everything you were supposed to do, and either you don't get the promised rewards externally, or you don't get the promised internal rewards. You're doing everything right, and you're still not happy, and so there's a crisis that happens on the personal level, internal and external, that ejects people into a space between stories, which is the feeling of, oh my God, I don't even know what's real anymore. I don't even know who I am anymore. Everything I thought was right and permanent and reliable is just an illusion. And it's this, you know, the new story doesn't emerge right away, usually. There's often a long period of being, of unknowing, of uncertainty, of being lost, of being lonely, until the programs of the old story are weak enough that something new can arise. And I think we're nearing that as a society as well. Still clinging on to the old, still hoping normal is going to come back, but not really believing in it anymore. Not like we did when I was a kid, you know, and everybody believed that the World Series or the Super Bowl was important, you know, and worth paying attention to, and the words of politicians were kind of taken seriously. You know, now it's just all a bunch of posturing and image, and we all know it, you know. It's all about what message does this send, not about what did he actually say. So if we don't believe in our story anymore, but we're still holding on to it, that's the state we're in now, not quite in the space between stories yet.
So this is really beautiful when you talk about collectively as a society, we're not quite in that space between stories. But when you, I love how you do this because it's personal and individual, and it is the story of the collective. But when you use the word ejected, that creates such a powerful, visceral feeling of what we knew to be in that place of not knowing who we are and not knowing what's even real anymore, because literally it's happening to us. We are being ejected. It's not like we're out exploring and finding better. We really are moving into a place where the rug's being pulled out from under us of sorts.
Yeah, it's like we're being born. You know, this isn't, you know, I mean, you mentioned spirituality. Part of the old story, I would say, of separation applied to spirituality is that, yeah, you are this separate soul encased in flesh. You are a consciousness. And to improve, you have to work really hard. You have to do something. You have to exercise your discipline, or you have to even surrender. You have to let go. It's all something that you have to do, which means that when you've done it, then you get to congratulate yourself for having more consciousness or a higher vibration than somebody else. But I think that when, at least when I really look honestly at my own path, my own transformations in consciousness, it's always something that happened to me. And you know, I went along with it because I couldn't help it. And I think this is, again, something that's happening to every person in one way or another on this planet. We are going through, and I'm not saying that I'm not advocating actually passivity or that we don't engage with the world. It's the opposite. I think that as the old story falls apart, as we have experiences that show us that something else is possible, we begin acting in different ways according to a different compass. In the meditation, that beautiful meditation you led at the beginning, do we have time?
We have about 3 minutes, and you're referring to before we went on the air, you and I connected. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, and you led a meditation with the listeners too about you asked them to envision the more beautiful world that their heart knows is possible, and then the problems of the world, you know. And sometimes it might seem that these visions of a more beautiful world are a fantasy that distracts us from directly engaging the, you know, 90% of the large fish are dead in the oceans now, you know, like directly engaging these. But I think that it's not a fantasy because all of us at one time or another have actually seen something that is a glimpse of the future. An experience that in the moment you know that it's real and you think a world could be built on this. This is how human life is supposed to be. This is how human relationship is supposed to be. This is what the world could be. And it feels real. And then maybe 10 minutes later, you're doubting it already. But those experiences implant themselves in us and they give us hope, you know, and they counteract the logic of despair, which says, it's hopeless. It'll never change. I can't possibly do enough. Mm.
You know, thank you for referring to that, because literally the thing that I think is really important that we can steer our conversation here is when you titled your book, I'd love to hear how your title came about too, by the way, but the more beautiful world our hearts know is possible. It doesn't say we think is possible. And no. I love how you really guide us into our heart, because then that becomes that GPS, that if we've had those glimpses, if we really have experienced those beautiful moments and a beautiful world, we can literally follow the crumbs, if you will, of that trail, or really tune into mm-hmm. that frequency and be led to that beautiful world instead of, like I said, starting the show, once we start thinking about it and have to figure out all the ways that we have to solve all these problems, it stops some people. It throws crisis and chaos into our whole
yeah.
central nervous system. So we just have a quick minute before break, and we talked about the space in between. I just want to bring this in now before we head into our head and heart over the next segment. We were talking about the space between stories, and I know you're developing a course. I can't wait for an online course titled The Space in Between, or The Space Between, whatever. Tell our listeners about that briefly.
Well, it's just a support and maybe catalyzing of, you know, this process of it's for people who the old story is not working and you see the writing on the wall, or it's already stopped working and you're in this transition zone, which lasts who knows how long, or you're in a new story that's still very tender and fragile. And I could say more about it, but I think we're running out of time.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah. I'm going to remind our listeners to go to charleseisenstein.net and sign up for your email list, and they'll be hearing a lot more about that course. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more with that more beautiful world our hearts know is possible. We'll be right back.
We Carry the Light with host Dr. Susan Allison is the show that inspires you to find the light within and shine your light in the world. You'll hear from guests who model how to be the highest, brightest, most evolved, fulfilled, and conscious humans possible. Tune in each Thursday, 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com, and let Dr. Susan help you discover that you carry the unique light that only you can shine.
It's here, the 23rd Annual Women of Wisdom Conference, February 12th through the 16th. This year's theme is I Am We, Hearts Connecting Communities, with special guests Jean Shinoda Bolin, healer Patty Conklin, Penny Pierce, and over 40 experiential life-changing workshops and inspiring evenings, all individually priced for you to create your unique conference. Evenings open to men. Find out all the details at www.womenofwisdom.org. Watch for the early bird specials all through December.
Tune in to the Angels and Answers Psychic Radio Show with clairvoyants Artie Hoffman and Sky Siegel every Thursday for a two-hour show, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio. Artie and Sky deliver spiritual and motivational messages with passion and a sense of humor. Call in 800-930-2819 for live and on-air readings. Visit ArtieHoffman.com and SkyOfAngels.com. Always inspiring and uplifting, Brenda Thine spreads love and light wherever she goes. Enlightening, empowering, and encouraging readings, Brenda connects with your guides, angels, fairies, and loved ones who have crossed over to provide you with the highest guidance possible to enable you to live your highest truth and maximize your potential. Always light-filled, a session with Brenda will have you feeling wonderful, centered, and ready to take on anything. Schedule your session now at BrendaThine.com. That's Brenda, T-H-Y-N-E.com.
Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Each week, you will journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Change makers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit thedrjulieshow.com.
Siegel, co-hosts one of today's most popular psychic shows, Angels and Answers with Artie Hoffman, as she communicates healing messages from the spirit world. These messages can be astounding, enlightening, and life-changing. Born with the God-given talent of inner guidance and the amazing ability to heal, Sky has healed thousands of people. Schedule a reading with Sky now. Call 908-500-1474 and visit skyofangels.com.
We're back on the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected. I'm here today with Charles Eisenstein, the author of many, many, many books, including The More Beautiful World, Our Hearts Know Is Possible. Right before the break, Charles, you were talking about the doing and putting that spirituality of really, it's when I listen to your words, it's kind of like learning to really embody the being and putting the being into action, which is infuses everything. And a big part of that being really is understanding that heart energy and really what that is, the heart versus the head, instead of thinking our way and doing. You talk a lot about that interbeing and then the heart. So let's start there. And what can you tell us about that heart versus the head?
So I'm actually not invalidating the head. It has its purpose and its use and its sacredness. But right now, because we are so deeply programmed with the logic of separation, very often our heart's guidance conflicts with our rational beliefs and the guidance that we get from the head. It's not because the head is, you know, a tool that should be discarded as a relic of the old story. It's just because it's aligned with an obsolete logic. And eventually, as we become immersed in the logic of non-separation, of interbeing, of interconnection, interdependency, ecology, gift, and so on, our mental logic will no longer be in conflict with our heart's logic. They'll be allies with each other. But that takes some time to cultivate new habits of thought. And so in this interim, it really can be useful sometimes to cut the mental calculations and to just tune in to the heart, the desire, the passion, the feeling of aliveness, you know, and to make decisions based on that, especially when the mental realm seems like a giant maze that leads you to walk in circles and circles and circles and doesn't get you out of the places that you've already been. So I think we're going through that phase, but I definitely don't want to come across as being, you know, anti-rational. It's just that the terms of the logic, the assumptions that we're operating from are no longer true. Does that make sense?
You know, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It does. And, you know, I'm talking with you who has a degree in mathematics and philosophy. And we think, you know, a lot of people go, those two things don't go together. And when I hear you talking about the head and logic, really it's this way of seeing the world that creates this path of logic that's not working anymore. But what I'm also hearing is really we have the capacity to really, I like when you said immersed, it's when we really activate that heart piece and come into alignment with our head, and it really shifts our perception of the world. So as we're being ejected from this old story, part of what I'm finding and many of my guests talk about is really this new activation of this heart place and really learning how to align it. And so, you know, here you are, a mathematician, and you know logic, you know thinking, you're brilliant, you're incredibly intelligent, and because you feel so deeply, you feel the earth, you feel the interbeingness of all life. it's activated something in you. And I see you really aligned, that your head is brilliant, and it's in alignment and like that convergence you talked about with spirituality and activism. It's like the convergence of head and heart. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, although, you know, I want to say, like, I'm not a mathematician, you know, like, I mean, I studied these things at university hoping actually that I would, you know, find the answers to the deep questions of life that way, right? I mean, you know, mathematics is the language of science, you know, it's the foundation of knowledge in our culture, and philosophy is supposed to be about, you know, what's true on the deepest level. So, you know, I kind of tried that out to see if that would take me where I wanted to go, and I became very disillusioned with it, and that's why I basically left the whole academic system. I mean, I just, you know, went to Taiwan. My first job in Taiwan was at a bar, you know. Then I did translation and stuff, and I just completely immersed in another culture. So I wouldn't be too impressed with my intellectual achievements, really. and also, you know, that whole idea of, well, you know, you should listen to Charles because, you know, he has a degree in mathematics and philosophy. And I know you weren't quite saying that, but like, even to be that impressed with that kind of stuff, it implicitly says that in general, you should listen to people who have degrees in mathematics and philosophy. But guess what? In general, those people are going to be defending, justifying, and validating the system that gives them high status and the system of knowledge production that has produced them. Part of the illness of our society is that our system of knowledge production that ends up with, you know, the peer-reviewed journal article as the gold standard of truth is deeply flawed and encodes world views and values that are no longer in sync with the shift in consciousness that's happening. So anyway, that's just a small cautionary note. But
yeah,
thank you for your kind words. You're welcome.
And the thing that's underneath my comments about the math and the philosophy, you've kind of spoken to, but I think it's really important to get not just that, again, that is a story of separation and it will perpetuate separation, but really the ability to embrace and integrate, again, going to that interbeing of heart and mind and body, like not separating this organ of a brain that's in our head with the rest of our body, but really understanding how to bring it into alignment and really embrace that as our interbeing, that we have all of these ways of knowing and integrating our ways of knowing.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll say one thing then about how to do that. So the purpose of the mind, to vastly oversimplify it, is to try to make meaning of the world. You know, you look out there and you reflect on things and you explore different stories and you tell yourself stories and you try to fit them in with various experiences, and it fits into that but not into that, and what about this, you know, and that's the job of the mind, no problem. The problem comes, though, when you try to make decisions based on those stories and try to prove or verify those stories without using the organ of the heart, which is an organ of perception, which can detect truth. But we've decided in our culture that truth equals fact, and therefore that you can, and this is the basis of the scientific method, that you can establish the truth of a story, of a theory, by testing it against reality, and you can get final proof this way and surrender the faculty of belief or of knowing, which should be a heart faculty, to this empirical method of reality testing. And I hope this isn't getting too philosophical, but basically, you know, you can, so the mind, you know, you can try on different stories, but which one are you going to live from? Which story of self, which story of human nature, which story of the world are you going to live from? It's the heart that selects or properly speaking, is supposed to select what resonates with you, what has the feeling of truth, what makes you feel alive. Is it the story of, you know, the Illuminati governing world events and implementing mind control technologies, and you're just going to retreat to a little bubble of rightness, because at least you see through it, but it's all hopeless? Like, is that the story you're going to live from? Or are you going to live from the story which equally fits all of the evidence that these Illuminati narratives, these New World Order narratives, these dark forces outside are mirrors of the shadow within our own psyche, and that ultimately we are not the helpless victims of anything, but that the experience of persecution or the experience of oppression is an opportunity to bring to the light of consciousness wounds that we carry. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of stories we can tell ourselves about any even small event in our lives, a relationship event. And the question, and we think in our culture that we can select the right story based on evidence. If we can only find out what she was really thinking, you know, if we can only find out what really happened, then I would be able to make my decision. But that's ultimately futile. At some point, it's a choice, and the choice is supposed to come from the heart.
Ooh, this is good. Let's talk about the choice of the heart and allowing of being when we come back, because I love this GPS of what makes you feel most alive. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, what makes you feel most alive? We'll be right back.
To The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for The Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Each week, you will journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Change makers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit TheDrJulieShow.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
It's here, the 23rd Annual Women of Wisdom Conference, February 12th through the 16th. This year's theme is I Am We, Hearts Connecting Communities, with special guests Jean Shinoda Bolin, healer Patty Conklin, Penny Pierce, and over 40 experiential life-changing workshops and inspiring evenings, all individually priced for you to create your unique conference. Evenings open to men. Find out all the details at www.womenofwisdom.org. Watch for the early bird specials all through December.
Naturopathic doctor, founder of the Martha's Vineyard Holistic Retreat, and author of the New York Times bestseller 21 Pounds in 21 Days, Dr. Ronnie DeLuce has helped tens of thousands of people, including celebrities and athletes, with her message of lifestyle change. Now Dr. Ronnie DeLuce wants to help you. You too can be saved. Email Dr. Ronnie DeLuce at info@ronniedeluceonradio.com and visit mvholisticretreat.com. Dr. Ronnie DeLuce, your partner in wellness.
Tune in to the Angels and Answers Psychic Radio Show with clairvoyants Artie Hoffman and Sky Siegel every Thursday for a two-hour show, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio. Artie and Sky deliver spiritual and motivational messages with passion and a sense of humor. Call in 800-930-2819 for live and on-air readings. Visit ArtieHoffman.com and SkyOfAngels.com.
We're We're back on the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected on Transformation Talk Radio, and I'm Dr. Julie Krall. Hey, visit our website if you want to check out the archives, you want to listen to this again. It's loaded with really good information here. Go to thedrjulieshow.com and check out all the archives there, and you can also see who's coming up next week. We have a great lineup coming into this winter and spring time, so check it out, thedrjulieshow.com, and stay connected all week on our Facebook page, All Things Connected. And I want to remind you that you can find Charles at charleseisenstein.net, EISENSTEIN.net, and sign up for his mailing list there. You're so humbled, Charles, and I know you don't like to promote yourself, but I'm going to promote you because this class coming up, this online course, The Space Between, will be really magnificent. So I'm encouraging you all to go check it out. So right before the break, we've been talking about so many things, but the head and the heart. And one of the things that you talk about, Charles, I know a lot of people can argue with this conversation and say it doesn't make rational sense, and you know, we've got to go out and change the world, and but you really are showing a new way of really sacred activism, in a way of really following our heart and being this next, what do I want to say, evolution of who we are, and really allowing the being is a much different place than pushing for change. So let's talk about allowing and being, and then I want to bring you back to your question, what makes you feel most alive? So let's talk about allowing.
Well, I guess part of the old story is that nothing changes in the world unless you exert a force on it. That's Newtonian physics. And that assumes that there's no order or intelligence in the world in and of itself, that only an outside intelligence can impose order upon the world. So if that's the case, then you've always got to be in control. You've always got to be predicting. You've always got to be manipulating external reality. Otherwise, it's just going to be a bunch of random stuff. Nothing's going to happen. But when we move into a story, and this is, again, getting abstract, but when we understand that, say, for example, the events of your life have a purpose and a direction and an intelligence, then you can get out of the way a little bit. And it's not that you don't do anything, but it's that you try to tune in what wants to happen and then serve that thing. And the same thing could be said for creating something out in the world. You know, what is the organization that wants to be born, or what is the result that wants to happen? How can I be in service to this thing? So it is like a different way of seeing the world.
I love that, in service of this thing. You know, it's a part of really, some people call it the co-creation, that life is happening and the divine intelligence is moving through us. And like you said, so these events happen and we look for the purpose and intelligence and kind of like follow those threads.
Yeah.
And when we do, it's really quite incredible what might occur when we follow the threads.
Yeah. Like, so one example that I came across is I met this Iranian guy, and his grandfather was a Sufi architect. And so it's not like they just sat in meditation and in their mind manifested a building and it popped up magically. No. But what they would do is, if there was, say, a mosque that was supposed to be built at a certain plaza, they would go to the site and just sit there for days or weeks or even months until, this were his words, until they saw the mosque that wanted to be built, as if they looked into the future, saw it, and then they would design it and build it. So they didn't see themselves as the creators of the building. It's a different conception of the artist than we have today. They saw themselves as the kind of executors, you know, the servants of something that already existed larger than themselves. So the phase of standing back and being, that is part of the process, but it's not the whole process.
And it's almost like a stewarding. And, you know, the thing that I think makes that come alive is literally in that being, we find truth in almost anything. You know, I think you talk about it, you know, it's the truth is in the trees and in the soil and in the music and in the art. And when we learn how to tune into it and really steward that, serve that thing that's coming through, we become like this infectious agent out in the world. It's like, and everything comes to assist in serving it.
Well, let me give you a really, like, you know, up close example. A friend of mine, and this is an example of standing in the story of interbeing. So he was going through a pretty painful divorce, and he and his ex-wife were starting to fight over custody, you know, and I want him with me on, you know, these days and that days. And he was really concerned because she had taken up with his boyfriend who was an alcoholic, you know, and like, he's afraid that he's abusing the kid and she's like, you know, gone into rehab. I mean, it's a bad situation. And so, you know, we talked about it, and he decided to stand in the story that she, at bottom, really wants what's best for her, for their son. And so he said to her, okay, whatever her name was, I trust you to know exactly how much our son should be with you. And a few days after, she said, you know, I'm not really ready for him right now. You know, I want you to take him. Her experience was not of being defeated. It wasn't of his logic or his lawyers overcoming hers. It was that her experience was that she made the choice. But what was happening was he was holding her in a story of who she really was. That was such a powerful holding that she stepped into that story. And I think we can do the same thing. Like, I've seen this happen in you know, confrontations between activists and people on the other side, you know, where if they can see the police or whoever as not like this appalling, irremediably bad enemy, but as somebody who deep down cares about the same things we do, then changes happen that are much bigger than what could happen through trying to overcome them by force. Because let's face it, the powers that be have the force at their disposal, not we, you know, environmentalists and social activists. We don't have the guns. We don't have the surveillance. We don't have the media, you know. We don't have the force. They have the force. We can't win through a contest of force, but there is another way.
Yeah, and that is brilliant in itself. There is another way when we stand in the story of interbeing. And it sounds kind of mystical. We need to bring you back on the show again and talk about the how-tos to this, because I find it working in the world as well, of when we really stand firm in the story of interbeing. I love that story. It's a beautiful one, that literally others see themselves not in being forced to change. I love that, but to really volunteer it and to be in that same place of interbeing with you. So that's a really great example. Charles, we have to close, and I've loved having you, but I really want to ask you one more question before we close, because I love when you have talked about it. What makes you feel most alive?
It's hard to generalize, really. But I guess if I have to, what makes me feel alive is when I'm part of a transformation, maybe in a group, you know, in an audience, whether I'm leading it or not. But when I feel that the story is actually changing and people are having like deep, you know, realizations, and when I'm in any space where I'm like, oh my God, it's happening. It's happening. It's real. That is just, that's my food and drink.
I love it. It's that process of creation and transformation. Charles, thank you so much for joining us today. I know our listeners are going to love every word that you've spoken today. And I just want to remind you all, you can find Charles at charleseisenstein.net and tune in with us next week. We'll see you right back here. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Julie.
You've been listening to the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected, with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific and 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com as you journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Changemakers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, the arts, education, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit thedrjulieshow.com for next week's guests and to catch up on past shows. See you next week.
Transformation Talk Radio's amazing hosts span from the Pacific to the Atlantic coast. With a world full of loyal fans, what's stopping you from joining our clan? Bring your powerful message to listening ears. We've been helping people do this for many years. Want to make a difference? We can help you out. Just give us at Transformation Talk Radio a shout. It's easy to get started with an email so small to host@transformationtalkradio.com, and then we'll give you a call.
It's here, the 23rd Annual Women of Wisdom Conference. Join us Valentine's Day Saturday. Inheritance Maiden Mother Crone by Sinner Saint Burlesque will entertain, challenge, empower, confuse, embrace, and deeply engage the audience, weaving feminist activism, international dialogue, and our sensory exploration for both ancient and modern myths about the feminine. Community-building events include open-space World Cafe dialogues with inspirational Jane talks to explore issues important to women and a teen activist panel interwoven with intergenerational dialogues. Find out all the details at www.womenofwisdom.org. That's www.womenofwisdom.org. Watch for early bird specials throughout December.
Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for The Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Each week, you will journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Changemakers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit thedrjulieshow.com.
Tune in to the hit show, Get Into It, Winning at the Game of Life with intuitive energy healer and medium Lynn Brown on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to bring the magic of soul into every aspect of your life. Learn how to use spirit tools and experience the immediate connection with yourself as a spiritual being with natural spiritual abilities as you are guided on the pathway to success and joy. Visit ruintuit.com. That's the letter R, the letter U, intuit.com. And get into it now.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
We Carry the Light with host Dr. Susan Allison is the show that inspires you to find the light within and shine your light in the world. You'll hear from guests who model how to be the highest, brightest, most evolved, fulfilled, and conscious humans possible. Tune in each Thursday, 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com and let Dr. Susan help you discover that you carry the unique light that only you can shine.
It's here, The 23rd Annual Women of Wisdom Conference, February 12th through the 16th. This year's theme is I Am We, Hearts Connecting Communities, with special guests Jean Shinoda Bolin, healer Patty Conklin, Penny Pierce, and over 40 experiential life-changing workshops and inspiring evenings, all individually priced for you to create your unique conference. Evenings open to men. Find out all the details at www.womenofwisdom.org. Watch for the early bird specials all through December.